Support for this podcast comes from Facebook. Running a business is challenging in 2020. That's why many small business owners are turning to Facebook tools. Owners like Stasha Harris, founder of the Brooklyn hair studio Magic Fingers. When she couldn't meet clients in person, she held braiding tutorials over Instagram Live for thousands of her followers. Stasha kept going, even when the rest of the world stopped. Connect to the customers you're looking for with Facebook tools. Visit facebook.com/smallbusiness.
Welcome to The John Roa Show, a production of iHeartRadio and Roa Media Works. This is Leading from Home, a special limited series where I'll be checking in with leaders and entrepreneurs from around the country on how they're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. It's Wednesday, April 8th, 30 days since the pandemic began. This has been a difficult month for everyone in the world. Life during a pandemic has been surreal. Never in my lifetime have I experienced an event or a crisis that's unilaterally hit all 7.5 billion people in the world at the same time. The level of anxiety, which literally means the fear or worry of the unknown, is expectedly high, and it's also perfectly expected and okay. I've been inspired to see how others are handling their situations. Those on the front lines are showing incredible levels of strength and courage. And those of us stuck at home are finding ways to cope, or maybe even to thrive. There are those who are trying to get fit or exercise more indoors, maybe learn a new language, and somebody's going to write the next great novel. The hustle culture does not stop with a pandemic. One benefit of any kind of shakeup or correction is that it forces new ways of thinking, which can lead to incredible things. Companies like Disney and Google were founded during recession. And many great books and screenplays were written during challenging times. So, while this is all happening, write those thoughts down. Share them with a friend. Collaborate on a new idea. Let your creativity run wild. You never know where it could lead when you have this much time to sit and think. Today on the podcast, I'm talking to Allison Victoria, the host of HGTV's Windy City Rehab, one of the network's hottest shows that debuted last year. She was just wrapping the highly anticipated season 2 right when the pandemic hit. Now, Allison's worried about the 7 homes that she had recently purchased to renovate and the loans associated with those. She'll also give us some home renovation advice in case any of you are feeling inspired after spending so much time at home for the last couple weeks. And finally, she'll give her perspective on the future of the residential retail market. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I guess good.
I'm mad that I can't figure this out. Nah. I think that's annoying.
No, nah, it's okay. I'm good. I guess I'm good. I don't know what I am. It's like, you know, it seems like almost a loaded question these days. Like, are you good? You know?
Well, yeah, I kind of feel bad too when I reply to people like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I mean, I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fortunate to have things that I have while other people, you know, don't. So
that's it. And that's why it's a loaded question, because I think what that term even means, like, what is being good right now? Does that mean you're healthy? Then great. Then I'm extremely good. I'm lucky that my friends and family are healthy. I've known some people who had the virus. They've recovered, you know, from that perspective. But things are also just really fucking weird. You know, I'm also sitting at home and haven't seen somebody I know in weeks, except for, like, you know, passing people on walks. And I spend most of my time talking to myself in my house in a microphone, which is bizarre. So I don't know what I am, but you're doing well. At least I have this. Without the podcast, I'd actually be going nuts, insane.
Yeah. I mean, you started this before all of this happened, right?
Kind of. So it's been in planning for over a year, and we did a deal with iHeart less than a month ago. And basically, so brand new deal, super exciting. And the podcast was slated to release sooner than later. It was slated to release, you know, probably in like April. And what happened was with the pandemic, you know, it made sense to push that back into, oh, cheers, by the way.
Cheers.
So it made sense to push the podcast back closer to when the book releases. And then I started getting calls from people I know, entrepreneurs, and, you know, talking through this crazy pandemic and what everyone's doing at home. And iHeart and I kind of had this idea to try to capture this point in time and talk to business leaders and entrepreneurs of like, how are you dealing with this? And like, how are we all running our normal lives from the confines of, you know, sitting on the couch all day? And that's this kind of limited series we're doing. And it's great. Super exciting. It's so fun to do. And it's keeping me sane. Without this, I'd actually be going out of my mind for sure.
Yeah. No, Bridget told me about the podcast. We were talking, yeah. I don't even know. We did like a happy time or a happy hour FaceTime, which
yeah.
By the way, I was not thinking I would enjoy at all.
Right.
And we ended up polishing off a bottle of champagne each. And but I also feel like this is a time that like I'm finding myself almost making up some excuses to get out of FaceTime parties.
Right. Yeah. it's like turning to normal life, like how we will like, you yeah. know, skirt plans for different excuses. Now we're using that for like FaceTime. Yeah. Happy hours. So, yeah.
Very, very odd. And it's just kind of like we kind of mold into this new reality, but it doesn't stop us from maybe doing the things that we always did when it comes to socializing. So it's really interesting just to see that. But I haven't left the house. I was telling you earlier, I haven't left the house for 3.5 weeks. I mean, not to even venture out of the house. Like,
you've not left
no
the
car,
four walls. No, nothing.
Nothing. So I just went and I was like, I need to go for a walk. And I found myself, I'm like, okay, a lot of people don't have masks on, which I know is not something that's mandatory in Chicago yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like you saw everybody kind of bobbing and weaving to like give each other the 6 feet.
Right.
And it was just like, and then I felt weird going into, I went into Olivia's Market.
Yeah.
And it just was, I don't know. I did not enjoy it.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like when you live within the four walls, it's happening. You know, it's happening.
Right.
But you're not, I don't know. You're not in it.
So you must be getting like groceries delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I also am choosing to do like more of a juice cleanse right now.
Okay. See, this is what's so funny. I feel like there's two kinds of people. There's people like you that are being productive. Like you look good. Like you look great compared to me and others that like, so today, I don't know if you can tell, I shaved into a goatee of all things out of sheer
Thank
boredom
you.
And it looks so bad that it should be criminal. The only reason I'm doing it is because I won't see another human being. It's going to evolve into a mustache at some point this week.
You're going to turn it into a handlebar. At least you guys get to have fun with that.
It's ready. It's ready. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just amusing myself. I'm a complete slob. Like, I haven't, I don't shower. I wear pajamas all day. And like, and there's people like you that are like productive and look great. And so there's definitely two kinds of people in how they're handling this.
I don't even know, you know, and I'm not sitting here saying my way is right, but I don't have children.
Yep.
And I feel like my friends that have kids, I am like, I don't know how they're doing it. I really don't.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I mean, I feel fortunate
right.
again for having that freedom right now that I really kind of only have to care about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And making sure that I'm staying sane. So I think, you know, I was telling you this a little bit earlier, but with my work and what I do, I've been dealing with a lot of trauma for the last probably 8 months.
Yeah.
Where I've kind of been in my own world of fear and fear of the unknown and fear of what's going to happen to my job and what's going to happen to my homes and my loans. Mm. And it's very odd because it's hard to put into words to kind of make sense of it all. But like
yeah.
the fear that people that all over the world are feeling right now is something that I can empathize with.
Sure.
So it's
yeah.
like, almost not a new feeling because I don't know. I was in my own world up until 2 months ago where I literally was just trying to figure out how I was going to survive and get through each day. And then kind of the world has just shifted.
Right.
And everyone around me is feeling that fear of the unknown. I don't know if I want to say there's a balance to that because I've been living in this cloud
sure.
of fear. And so I don't know. I and maybe that's why I'm kind of taking this opportunity to do the things that I haven't been able to do. I mean,
right.
you're a busy guy too. It's like, I'm constantly on a plane, constantly filming in so many different places or doing, you know, and working all over the country and never stopping. And it's a much needed pause. So it's very,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do understand. I've been less busy now than I have been for years. And so this comes at a strange time for me when I was about to get busy, the book, the podcast, and all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of continued my multi-year vacation that I've been on. But I'm talking to a lot of people that are at their busiest times. Like I had Sean McVay on the show last week, you know, the coach of the Rams, who is, I think, the busiest friend I have. I mean, he wakes up at 4 a.m. He goes to sleep at, you know, midnight. He's insane. And it was, I've never seen him more lively. Like he looks great. And he's just like, you know, I mean, he hasn't had a break since he took over the Rams 3 years ago. And so I think for people like you and him that are just go, 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 it must feel great, but it's also got to be somewhat disconcerting as well, right? That all of a sudden the uncertainty, as you mentioned, that like that not knowing where your projects are going, et cetera.
Again, it is a weird place for me to even kind of talk about because I'm trying to almost like, I'm trying to figure it out myself where, you know, a couple months ago and still today, so nothing has changed there, but I have 7 homes, 7 loans. It's a weird place because I'm literally 2 episodes away from finishing my season. We were supposed to start airing in April. So now, and look at it too. It's a weird thing for me because everybody's sitting at home right now and watching TV, right. HGTV. Yeah. We're doing these beautiful campaigns called Home Together, where all of the talent from all of Discovery Inc. are kind of coming on and just saying, hey, we're with you here. You know, we're all doing it together. We're all home together. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here going, I could be finishing these homes, but I can't be in them doing what I would normally do. And so that's scary to me because obviously I don't know when I'll be able to get back in those homes. It's scary to me because of what's happened with all of the financial institutions that I'm dealing with. You know, I'm no longer a priority. And that's a weird place to be because, you know, they are putting out so many fires. You have so many people coming in to try to refinance. And now we've got these SBA loans people are applying for. And they're trying to do this dance with the government to figure out how these things are going to be funded and when and what the proper procedure is. And what's going to happen with real estate, you know? And every day I have calls with investors, bankers, people that I know and respect in the industry. And I don't know how many times I can listen to their projections. And I'm not trying to be rude here, but it's you don't know. They don't know. No one knows. So I try to not have those conversations where I put my 2 cents in because I try to go off of my gut.
Yeah.
Which is
it's a lot. And this is why I wanted to capture this, because as entrepreneurs, we live in worlds of uncertainty primarily. That is our normal course of being, right? Is taking risks and doing wild stuff. But it's normally with some kind of playbook. It isn't normally during an unprecedented global event like this, where, you know, almost every business has just ceased to operate their normal way. There are these rare exceptions. Like my brother works for a cannabis company in Michigan. They're killing it, you know? So there are these weird little pockets where they're like, this is the greatest thing ever. But for the 98% of everyone else that is running small businesses or solo ventures, this has shaken everything to the core. And obviously with your TV show, which was one of the biggest first year freshman hits ever on HGTV, like you guys are crushing it going to the second year. Does this, I'm trying to kind of gather is this a opportunity to kind of hone in on some things that we're missing to improve what you're doing? Or is this just a big kind of anvil in the middle of what was a fast moving operation and train?
So, you know, I'm looking at this like, kind of like I always did when I first created this show. I had been on the network for years and years. I'd been there for 7 years, so I knew what it was missing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show people the truth behind the build. I wanted to show people the real kind of good, bad, and ugly with the business. And I was kind of done with the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So when season 1 came out and it did as well as it did, I just wanted to constantly continue the truth. And so now in season 2, you're going to see not only the truth of what's gone on in my business and in my life, but this pandemic and how it's playing into this, you know, this business of mine. And, you know, it was, 3.5 weeks ago. and we were filming, and it was one of my houses that I'm doing in Bridgeport. And we are like, I'm not kidding, a week away from staging, meaning all the furniture's coming in. And my realtor has like two people lined up to come and see it. I'm beyond excited, right? It's the spring market.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it was out of nowhere. Like, my producer ended up getting very sick, and he was back in LA, and then he ended up, his test was inconclusive, but he had all the symptoms, and I don't know, I guess they said to assume that you have it, which seems very scary to just say, assume you have it, but he couldn't come back anymore.
Yeah.
And then we were around him, so we had to be quarantined for 14 days, and it was like my whole world stopped for a moment, like everybody else's, where I thought, okay, my world has been stopped, and I'm going as much as I can, and I'm trying to be in control as much as I can with my situation, and now no one can control this. I mean, it's crazy to be somebody who has their own business and who is used to the unknown and that fear that drives us. You know, it's like, is the house going to sell? Is my show going to get picked up?
Right.
Do I think that I'm going to get more investors? Do I think, you know, those fears are fears that live inside of me and have always lived inside of me and have given me breath and life. And now, even though we're still building, how do you make sense of it? But I think that this is going to be a real time for me to connect even on a deeper level with viewers, because they don't want lies. You know, they want to hear the truth. And I think that now more than ever, they don't want smoke and mirrors.
I agree.
So I think that there's going to be this real connection with me and the viewers, and for them to see the truth. And that's what I've always really prided myself on.
You've mentioned that multiple times. So what does that mean? What truth are you seeking? Is it the truth in reality TV? Is it the truth of home renovation? What truth are you seeking?
The truth is, you know, when you go into business, I don't even know what the words are right now, but like, I'm going through it right now, all while building and trying to communicate with my investors and my bankers and trying to keep things afloat and trying to figure out financially how to do that, because all of my own money was used to fund these projects.
Right.
And if those projects are just sitting, then where's my income? And that is what everybody's thinking right now, is like, when's my next paycheck? So I'm no different.
Yeah. And that may shock people that this is all legit, that these projects are really your project. This is really your money, that this is not a reality TV invention of your business, as we may have started to assume it might be, because, you know, a lot of these shows, they do, you know, kind of gloss over a lot of things, but this really is your livelihood, your money, your business.
Yeah. This is my life. This is my truth, and it's not always pretty. And, you know, I would say that after the first season, when I would start hearing people say, like, that's not real, or it's too much drama for me. And I was sitting there going, well, then clearly you don't want to get in this business, because this is not drama that's made up.
Right.
This is real drama that's happening on a daily basis, where, you know, things don't go the right way, or the projects aren't as profitable as you think. And I know that's what people want. They don't want to sit here and see another project that costs, you know, 20 grand, but really it might've been 100 grand, or it took 2 months, but really it would take someone else 2 years. And so I didn't ever want to create this show to do something that wasn't real. See, my last show, Kitchen Crashers, was very regimented and it was very produced. And even though it was 4 days and someone gets a new kitchen, it was still like, people would assume that you went to the hardware store, you found someone, you gave them a new kitchen in 4 days. There was stuff that they didn't get to see, and it became Groundhog's Day for me, because I was like, I did 117 kitchens in 7 years. And I just was like, I was getting sick of it myself. And so I started renovating a home in Chicago, and I thought, I want to document this. I want to film it. And I want to pitch it to HGTV. And Windy City Rehab was this like, holy shit, this is real. It's raw. It's insane. She's losing her mind. She's losing her money. Her partnership is being put to the test. And will that even make it? And am I going to lose it all? And I still don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars tied up in projects. One in a high rise downtown in the Gold Coast.
Wow.
Do you think anybody wants to go into the high rise right now? No. You think anybody wants to go to my open house out in Bridgeport? No. So if I don't sell those homes, even if I could break even, that would be a win for me.
Yeah.
And I think people don't understand that. Like season one, some of the projects were a loss.
Right.
And I don't know. I want to stick with the fact that like people have always wanted the truth. And I think that this is the time to continue showing it to them.
Well, listen, you have me more than convinced. That's been my platform with what I'm doing now, right? Is to bring some truth to all of this. And exactly what you're saying, I look at it from, you know, from being a tech guy and running businesses. And that's why I wrote the book, How I Did. And I'm sure, you know, we've talked a bit about it. I'm sure Bridget told you a bit. But, you know, my book is way too honest. I'm about to tell people way too much than they'd ever want to know about me. But the point is to bring
that.
Well, listen, wait till you read it. Then you can tell me if that's true or not.
Okay.
But it's, you know, the point was, is that there's a narrative that I put out there for years, and then there's what really happened, and they're quite different. And so I'm with you 100%. And it's funny. So I've dabbled in your world. So I renovated my place in Chicago, built a couple places in Greece, and then, you know, have my place here that you're seeing behind me in New York. And so I love it. I love the renovation side. But a lot of those shows I do watch on TV, I'm like, that can't be like that can't be right. Like,
well,
just
you
logistically.
Can speak to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could speak to it because you've done it. You've been there. You know, what the numbers should look like.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously
in the timelines, yeah.
Right, you can't compare Mykonos to that, but like
whole different piece.
Very different.
Yeah.
But I think that what you're saying is, you know, so can I ask you a question then with your book?
Please, yeah.
Are you saying that it's going to be such a departure from what you've lived?
Yeah.
Meaning
well, departure from what I pretended to live. You know, I worked hard during my time at Okta, you know, when I was in Chicago and you were and I was pushing so hard to run this tech company. And, you know, I felt an obligation to look somewhat perfect all the time, that I knew what I was doing, that I was as smart as it appeared, that I was deserving of what I had earned, and achieved. And very little of that was ever true. The reality was I was deeply insecure about what I was doing. I had deep levels of imposter syndrome where I truly believed it was all a fraud, and I was completely faking everything. And I had
Like, when are they going to figure it out?
Absolutely, I literally thought that like someday someone's going to figure out what I'm doing here. I'm going to get caught. I struggled with mental health issues. I struggled with substance abuse issues in the time. No one knew that. Not even my best friends and family knew that. And I didn't let any of that on. And afterwards, I realized that there's a lot of value in the honesty that you're talking about and that I ended up getting to with my book. And that's ultimately what I wrote about. So the book is a memoir on those years in Chicago with every dark, deep secret, all the real stuff. I mean, it's real people, you know, it is the real story of what truly happened. And it's just fucking bonkers. It's bananas. But that's because I'm just, what's that?
I said, it's got to feel pretty liberating. I mean, I don't know how it feels to keep shit in. So.
Well, I'm assuming you can relate that, you know, to put yourself out there isn't always easy. And maybe it's different because I'm a naturally pretty private person. I normally keep my, you know, networks and my kind of, you know, thoughts and humanity pretty private. And so to put that as out there as I now am is extremely disconcerting. I every day I think to myself, like, what on earth am I doing? At the same time, I also think, how important is this to get the truth out, to kind of promote truth amongst successful people, amongst entrepreneurs, amongst people that we normally only see this like highlight reel of their lives? That's what I'm ultimately trying to do. So I love what you're doing because that's an area. I mean, reality TV is one of the misnomers that has kind of been now associated with everything that's fake, even though they call it reality. And so for what you're doing seems like just the freshest breath of air into that industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's we don't have a big crew. We're really rogue.
Yeah.
So it's me, my producer, showrunner, and then my assistant or associate producer. Really, it's like four of us. And why we keep it so small is because we want to keep it so real. We'd rather shoot more days then have less days and a bigger crew, because what's the point of having a bigger crew? Like, who cares? I just want to shoot what's real. So if something happens, if a pipe bursts at 3 a.m, we're there. If, you know, I have to make a really hard decision, I'm doing it on camera. So the really interesting part is, I understand what you're saying a little bit about kind of hiding the truth, which I'm telling you right now doesn't get you anywhere, because it can lead to mental issues and it can lead to instability and whatever type of substance abuse. But if you wrap your arms around it, as hard as it might be to hug, and just say, like, this is who I am. And if you don't like me, you don't like me. And if you don't think this is real, it's not for you. It's for me to be able to tell my story. It's for you to be able to see the reality. It's for you to decide, do I want to get into this business of flipping houses? Because if they all make it look so easy, I don't know. I think it's really just a weird space to be in, because I am so revealing. Mm. And I, you know, season one, I told my producer, I was crying outside of one of my projects. And I told him, I go, don't film this at all. You know, we had an understanding. If I'm emotional, I don't want it on there. And I was hiding that. And this season, it's hard not to catch me very upset or crying. Right, and I'm like, let him in. Let him in. Let him see. Because this is my reality. Is me, you know, sliding down a wall like a movie, crying because I can't believe what's going on with my life. Yeah. Because I don't think I can get up and do that day. And it's very scary, but it's also very liberating. Like I was saying to you with your book, it's got to feel like scary, but who gives a shit? Being scared is living. It's awesome.
There's a lot of courage in what you just said, and it's hard to do. And I didn't have that courage before. I think I have it now. I'll see what happens when the book actually comes out. But it's funny because, you know, the point that you just made, like, do you really want to come and be a house flipper? I know how sexy it looks and how cool it looks, but you're kind of saying to them, like, you know, here's what it really looks like. That's kind of what I want to do with entrepreneurship in general, especially tech entrepreneurship, because it's become this gold rush. It's become this, you know, almost the new celebrity in a really fucked up backwards way that I, you know, having met the people that run these companies, you know, they're very different than what you think. And that's kind of the point. And I kind of want to say, like, do you really think this is what you want to go do? Do you really think you want to, you know, drop out of school to make an app if this is what you have ahead of you?
Right.
But I think it's great. And one thing I was thinking of you and renovating houses. And so I rent my place here in New York. So I can't exactly start ripping stuff up, but I feel like during this period of time, when we're all sitting home in our domiciles for probably more hours per day than we ever have been in probably years, do you think there's going to be some massive wave of home renovation coming when everyone is so like obsessive about their own space and so cognizant of what's going on and so aware of all the little issues that they're having inside their homes?
Yeah. So it's all I've been thinking about, to be honest with you. It's like I'm sitting in my house and the network has asked a lot of the talent, like, if you're going to do something at home, please film it so we can share that with the viewers.
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
If you've got a project you've been wanting to work on, like, please do that with us. And, you know, I was really happy with the house that I was able to build and to look around and live in it and say, I don't have shit to renovate. I've got literally nothing to, I did, you know, I'm so proud of what I did here, but I don't have anything that I want to change. You know, I'm not looking around that way, but I'm sitting there going, how many millions of people are at home right now saying, what can we do this weekend? Or do we really love it here? And that's something that I think is going to be, this is again, my gut feeling. I'm not sitting here projecting, but my gut says that a lot of people are not only going to sit around and look for problems in their own homes and how to fix them and to learn from people like me or other talent on the network, but people that are going to sit around and go, when we get to get out, we don't want this house anymore.
Wow.
Like there's way too much to renovate. It's going to cost way too much. Let's just get out and let's see what we can do. And I think that home will never be so valued. Mm. I really believe that. I feel like we are stuck at home. We are all doing it at the same time and together. And we are all looking at our spaces the same way. Are we happy? Do we want to make a change? How much would this cost? Or do we want to get out there and find what we really want? I think about that show, Love It or List It,
right,
which I love. But think about most people going, do we love it here? Is this where we want to really stay? Or is it time to go?
So
that's why I think the residential market, I cannot sit here and say it's going to be bad or it's going to be great when we get out of here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can just think and hope that people want to get into something that they love if they're going to be home more.
I mean, that makes total sense. And I've heard a lot of entrepreneurs and CEOs, including Stephen Galanis in the podcast from Cameo last week, they kind of said that working from home is working for them. They thought that they had to be in person. They thought they had to be, you know, have these big expensive offices. And all of a sudden they're like, this is actually kind of nice. We're productive. We're cutting costs. People are more relaxed. They can take care of their kids and walk their dog. And so if we have this stay-at-home surgeons coming up, then you might be right in terms of people looking to have a more comfortable home or more optimized home. So for the people who are listening, who are looking around their living rooms or their kitchens right now and going, yeah, might want to make some changes after this, what would you tell them? What is your advice to the person that might not be who you are to be able to go do these things?
I think it's really looking at, you know, what is the future of residential? And meaning what's our pricing going to look like? You know, if I've got a house listed for 1.6 million right now, in 2 months, is it going to still be 1.6?
Right.
I don't know. But I would look around and I would say, are we happy at home? Is this where we want to be? And if the answer is we'd rather renovate, you know, and do a built-in, or we want to totally gut the kitchen and it's going to cost this much, versus going and looking for a new home. I mean, listen, interest rates are pretty great right now.
Right.
They're not, everybody's assuming that refinancing is like, let's go do it. The rates are great. Banks are trying to stop so many people from doing this. And so with a new home loan and going into something, you know, that maybe is perfect for you, something turnkey, something that has everything that you want, now is the time to really say, love it or list it. I don't know. I'm not even trying to like throw that out there, but it's true. It's like, how much do you love your home?
Yeah.
And is this where you want to stay? And if it is, how much is that going to cost to renovate based on how much you think your home value would be? Or does it make more sense to try to find something new? So it's a weird world out there, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Are you a like design hack person? Do you find like clever ways to do things around the house?
Yeah, not at my house, but at, you know, homes that I own.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't have enough in a budget, like I love this brass shim stock. It's super thin brass and it's all in lacquered. And I love, like, you know, wrapping cabinets in them, or I've wrapped pretty much everything you can wrap in brass in brass. But it's like, I did a beautiful wet bar. And if it was all solid brass, would have probably cost $30,000, and I did it for like $900.
Wow.
So my hacks are still kind of expensive. I do like high low, but I do that mainly with furnishings and lighting and stuff and accessories. When it comes to the hardscapes, I tend to spend a little more.
What will you never cut corners on? What is your kind of North Star when it comes to renovation?
Windows. Okay. Cabinets.
Yeah.
And tile. And you know what? There's so many though. It appliances.
Yeah.
Your flooring. Nobody wants to rip up flooring. You know, make a really good decision. Also, you know, just make sure you're making decisions on things that are timeless, because I don't want to be ripping my kitchen out every 5 years. So it's like, if your backsplash is something that you want to change, that's not going to break the bank. But if you're getting all new cabinets, like, you're out of your mind. So just, you know, think about hardscapes versus the things that really are something that you can maybe even do yourself, whether it's changing out, you know, your faucets, or, you know, everything else becomes more of like an accessory, area rugs, lighting, accessories, furniture. But hardscapes, like my island right here.
Yep.
That's a waterfall edge, marble running all the way down. Like, I don't want to change that. I wouldn't change that in 30 years.
Right.
So how do you design something that's really going to just be something that you are in love with 30 years from now? And I think people have to start thinking that way, because you want to you want to be able to evolve with your space. And so it's like, for me, it's pretty easy if I decided 10 years from now, I hate brass, which by the way, would never happen. But let's say that I hated brass. Yeah. I could easily change that out and I'm not going to go broke doing it. So yeah. It's all hardscape versus all the other fun stuff.
Have you ever had a client ask for anything that's just completely insane?
Well, I had a client ask me to design a project for him, and he was kind of weird when he was asking me, because I had already designed his place, his house. And I was like, yeah, sure. What's going on? He's like, well, it's for my mistress. Oh, what? What the hell? So that was the weirdest ask I've had.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it wasn't like a chicken coop or some shit.
I was wondering if there's anything like in the home that you're just like, I'm not going to do that, or I can't do that, or we don't do that, or.
Same answer goes with what I just told you.
You said no.
I was like, no, I can't do that.
Oh, that's too funny. So what do we get next from you? So obviously your show ran last year. What can we expect in season two? When can we watch it?
So season two right now is slated to air in July, which is awesome.
Yep.
You're going to get to see, you know, all of what I've been going through the last 9 months, almost a year.
Okay.
And you're going to get to see, you know, I think it's very upsetting when people read the news and they think that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is not my truth. It's just somebody else who's writing a story. It doesn't have the facts.
Yep.
And so really this season for me is to share the truth, the real story behind the reality of this show. And that's what I'm most excited. I mean, the before and afters of these projects are unbelievable. And I'm so proud of everything that me and my team have endured and have conquered and are still working through. And we truly have gone to battle and we're still in it, even more so now because of what's going on. And I don't know how I'm going to come out. You know, I know that I will always be okay. Yeah. I know that no matter what, I've got this, and I don't know what's going to happen with the real estate market. I really don't. And one can only hope. I don't have that many projects, and I do know that they will sell. Mm-hmm. They are going to take a little longer to sell, but I think I'm just most excited for people to see the truth. And it's what I've always, I've just always wanted that to be my story, you know, after doing Kitchen Crashers and feeling almost like, you know, the imposter syndrome is very real. And I don't think a lot of people know about it, but it is that feeling of like, I'm sitting at the head of the boardroom and I'm 25 years old and I'm running like a casino.
Yeah.
That's what I did years ago. And I would sit there going, when are they going to figure it out?
Yeah.
But now looking back I'm 39 years old. I belonged there every step of the way. And so it's like, I felt a little bit of that imposter syndrome on Kitchen Crashers because I wasn't living my truth. Mm. You know, it's like, I don't go to the hardware store every day and find people and give them free shit. That's not my real life. But did it lead me to this? Was it a massive stepping stone for me to tell the truth?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. And so I wouldn't change a thing. Mm. A lot of people always ask me, do you have any regrets or would you do things differently? It's like, no, I wouldn't be here right now talking to you about these experiences if I didn't experience them. And so good, bad, and ugly, it's just the way that I've always tried to live my truth. And it's not easy. I remember my producer saying to me like a year ago, we're filming, and he goes, you sure you want to do that? Like, you sure you want to say that? And I go, well, I'm saying it, right? Like, so I was saying it,
right,
and that means that it's something I'm going to say, so I want people to hear me.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not going to agree with it. Maybe they're not going to watch me ever again, but it's, why should I not be myself? And I don't know, this season's going to be, it's going to be pretty insane.
Well, I can't wait. And If I was moving back to Chicago, you'd be the first phone call, and I'd want to see these amazing houses you're building. And so if people listening are thinking about new places in Chicago, how do they get in touch with you? How do they see what you're working on before the new season airs?
So I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm actually going to unveil those projects on season two and then let them hit the market.
Mm.
I think that's what I might do. I think for me, I'm going to look at this as like, you know, a way to let things settle and let's all get through this together and let's start getting back out into the world. It's going to be a new reality for all of us. Even when those doors open, it's going to be a very, very new way of living.
Yeah.
It's already a new way of living, but we're not going to be stuck at home forever. So I kind of want it to be this, let this play out and let's see what happens with the world and then unveil the houses on season two.
Okay.
So that's kind of where my head's at right now.
Yep.
I do have interested buyers on two of the properties. So
sweet.
I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got a really sweet penthouse for you if you come back.
If I ever come back, that'll be the first phone call. And I miss Chicago every day. I'll tell you, it's, you know, having lived now everywhere but Chicago over the last 5 years, it pulls me back a lot, and I do miss being there. So we'll connect when I'm back. Hopefully we can leave our own homes soon. And while you're in yours, continue to do well. I appreciate everything you shared. I think it's really important to talk about, you know, that level of transparency and honesty with someone like yourself, that people probably watch you on TV and have very different perspective than what's really happening, even though you are telling the truth. I think people might not always, you know, believe the truth. So it's so important and it's so cool what you're doing. And I've had so much fun watching it over the last year, and we'll be tuning in July.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll get you dates sooner. And I can't wait to read your book. You've got to send that to me.
You'll have it the moment it's out.
Okay.
All right, Allison.
All right. Good luck with everything and stay sane and healthy and safe and stay home, obviously. But
yep.
Thanks for doing it.
We'll do my best. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye. A big thanks to Allison Victoria for being on the show today. Her honesty and perspectives are really refreshing during these very uncertain times. Please tune in to season 2 of Windy City Rehab, coming this July to HGTV. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. 100% of the proceeds from this limited series will be donated to charities helping those through the pandemic. If you're currently leading from home, or you're an entrepreneur seeking advice, I want to hear from you. Head over to roa.com/podcast. That's roa.com/podcast for ways to connect with me. Or hit me on social media at John Roa. It's JohnRoa. The John Roa Show is a production of iHeartRadio and Roa Media Works. For more podcasts from us, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. A special thanks to my producers, Jordan Gasporé here at the show, and Tyler Klang over at iHeartMedia. We'll be back with you on Friday. In the meantime, be safe out there.
What's up? I am Machine Gun Kelly, and look, I know Halloween is going to suck this year because there's no trick-or-treating and all that, but I've got a treat. There's a musical podcast that I made with my friends 24K Golden, Ian Dior, and Dana Dentata, and Satan. Well, Satan's not my friend, but Tommy Lee is, and Tommy Lee is playing Satan. But don't just take it from me. Tell him, Satan.
Thanks, dude. It feels great to be playing Satan on this podcast. Listen to Halloween in Hell on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or whatever you get your podcasts on.